Now we are told something in chapter 3 of the family of David in Hebron, and here's where I want you to see something that is all important, by the way. I read in verse 1 here, and this is important for you and me to note. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. This is the condition, internal strife, civil war, and the nation's energies are being depleted, and of course their resources are being exhausted at this time. Now we're told that while David spent this 7.5 years in the city of Hebron, we're told in verse 2, and unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Ammon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. His second was Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. Now you can see David had more than the two wives. He had these others. And this will be the thing that's going to cause a great problem for David. David didn't get by with this, and God did not approve of it. And we find that among these boys that are listed here is one by the name of Absalom, and I'm sure you're familiar with his story. A little later on, we'll see him lead a rebellion against David. We'll see that this is the boy that was brutally killed by Joab in battle, and that this young man was apparently the one David wanted to follow him to become the king. I'm of the opinion that David wanted this boy to be the one to follow him, and it broke his heart when he was slain. But who is he? Well, he's the son, we're told here, of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Well, who's the king of Geshur? Well, if you go back into 1 Samuel, in the 27th chapter, verse 8, you will find out that when David had gone out of the land, that he carried war against the king of Geshur. And I think he was in the wrong position altogether and doing a wrong thing. And he slew these people and the king of Geshur, but took apparently his daughter to wife. And this son is the one that led the rebellion against him. David, my friend, did not get by with it, and God saw to it that he did not get by with it at all. This is something very important for you and me to know, that he did not get by with it. Now we have something else that happens in this chapter that is of great significance. This is a long civil war, and in many ways very uninteresting as far as you and I are concerned. Now, what happened was this, that Abner, who had been the chief captain of King Saul, now he's been pushing the son of Saul, Ish-bosheth, on the throne. And naturally, being an older man and having had such a high position, he's not apt to listen to this young king. And he does something that he should have been forbidden to do. Now, notice we're told that. Verse 7, and Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. And Ish-bosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ish-bosheth, and he said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? In other words, Abner's saying, this is none of your business. I'll do as I please. And he did not appreciate the rebuke that the young king has given him. But candidly, the young king is justified in the thing that he's saying and in the thing that he's doing here. Now we are told that immediately Abner begins to make overtures to David. And the thing that happened is this. We are told in verse 9, "So do God to Abner and more also, except as the Lord has sworn to David, even so I do to him." In other words, this man says, "I'm going over to David to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." And that would include, of course, the 12 tribes. And he could not answer Abner a word again because he feared him. Now, this young man, Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, he had no army and he had no training whatsoever. He was not like Saul and Jonathan, the oldest son. He was one that had been brought up in the king's palace. Now, Abner sent messages to David on his behalf saying, "Whose is the land?" And he says, "Make a league with me." Now, David said this to him. He says in verse 13, "Thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." In other words, she was the one that was given to him at first, the first wife, and Saul took her away from David. Believe me, this man David had a checkered career. My friend, this is the reason God wouldn't let him build a temple. And the reason that this man suffered as he did is because of the sin that entered his life. But above it all, there was a faith in this man's life that never failed. And he wanted, above all else, to have a wonderful relationship with God. And so Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go return," and he returned. Now, we find that there is this overture made, it is accepted, and we find now that David will become king of all 12 of the tribes because, actually, of the treachery of this man Abner. Now, Joab hasn't forgotten that his own brother had been slain. And so we read, "When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, and he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother." Now, when David heard it, David did not approve of it at all. In fact, the matter is, he accused Joab of doing a very terrible thing. But the thing that he said concerning the death of Abner is quite interesting. And in closing, I'd like for you to notice it. In verse 33, "And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth." Now, why did he say that? That's a strange epitaph to give any person. "Died Abner as a fool dieth." Well, he was in Hebron. Hebron was one of the cities of refuge where a murderer was safe. And this man, Abner, if he'd stayed inside of the city, would have been perfectly safe, and Joab could not have touched him. But Joab very quietly took him aside, says, "Come out here. I want to talk with you. Now that you were captain on the other side, I'm the captain over here. Oh, it'll be nice if we get together." And so he attempts to get together with him, and he kills him. Well, may I say to you, he had left the city of refuge. Is that a message for us today? There is a refuge for the sinner. That's in Christ. You want to know God's evaluation of the man today? And I don't care how high his IQ might be, and I don't care what his position is. The man that will not turn to Christ in these days, he's the place of refuge for sinners. David said of Abner, "Died Abner as a fool died." And if the truth was told at many funerals today, the preacher or whoever speaking would have to say, "A fool is just died." He would not turn to Jesus Christ, the place of refuge. Today, are you resting in Christ, the place of refuge?